You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Increasing violence towards Auckland's bus drivers has prompted several union groups to issue statements demanding better working safety protections for drivers. I spoke to Melissa Ansell-Bridges, Secretary of the NZCTU, the Council of Trade Unions, to find out more about the issue. I started by asking what Auckland bus drivers are concerned about.
Well, I mean, the health and safety for bus drivers has been a concern for quite a while, but obviously with this recent violence, it's really just thrown into the spotlight some of the issues which they're facing. So they're wanting some quite urgent action to ensure that drivers are safer at work. Some of that's around increased security presence at some of those hotspots in the city, particularly around those sort of inner city loops. Some of it's around increased security, supervisory security presence actually on buses as well. And there's also been a trial underway around protective cabins for drivers, and they're seeking greater investment in that to continue that trial. So those are a couple of the short-term urgent measures which they're hoping to see. There's a longer-term conversation around health and safety for drivers which needs to happen, and the fair pay agreements which are, you know, expected to get underway with initiation and bargaining shortly, hopefully present an opportunity there for a more comprehensive nationwide response to health and safety for drivers. Violence isn't the only issue that they face. You know, there are issues around fatigue, for example, which are also really important for drivers too. So hopefully those fair pay agreement negotiations can mean a more comprehensive approach to health and safety for drivers as well.
Is this safety issue related to the bus driver shortage Auckland is experiencing?
Well, drivers have reported that there have been increased frustrations from passengers which relate to the shortages and cancelled buses. So it may be impacting it, but the other way in which this will be impacting the shortage is that, you know, you're looking at an industry like this where there are these kinds of risks will absolutely make it harder to recruit to the industry and to retain drivers in the industry, and that could exacerbate those driver shortages. So it is an urgent issue, both in terms of the safety of drivers immediately, but also in terms of the certainty needed around our public transport infrastructure as well.
Can you briefly speak on the recent violence that occurred?
The recent violence which occurred was a stabbing of a driver who has been left seriously injured as a result of that, and it's obviously something which is going to be top of mind for a lot of drivers who will be feeling quite fearful of future events like that.
Besides increased pay and security guards, is there anything else the unions are calling for?
Yeah, so it's really that the immediate requests have been increased security at those city hotspots, on the buses themselves, and continuing to trial the use of those protective cabins, and, you know, continuing to engage and, you know, with the drivers around what other safety measures might be useful. Those are the main things which drivers are asking for now.
Is there anything bus passengers can do to ease the stress on bus drivers and their experience?
Well, I guess remembering that bus drivers are doing the absolute best that they can. It's not drivers' fault. It's not the drivers' fault that you know, buses are being cancelled. They're there and doing their job, and everyone deserves to be treated with dignity and respect at work. So, you know, be polite to your drivers and say thanks, and don't take frustrations at delayed or cancelled buses out on them, because they're just doing the best they can.
I also spoke to Melissa Ansell-Bridges to find out more about improving contractor positions in Aotearoa. The New Zealand Council of Trade Unions is also calling for better employment protections for contractors, many of whom earn below minimum wage for hours worked. This follows a landmark win where Uber drivers became classified as employees instead of contractors last year. I started by asking what differences in protections were experienced by employed workers versus contracted workers.
That's a great question. So employees have a number of protections and rights available to them in legislation. So they're things like having to be paid the minimum wage, having access to sick leave and annual leave, public holidays, KiwiSaver contributions, but also protections against things like having their work terminated unfairly as well. The right to collectively bargain is a really important one so that they can, you know, come together and improve terms and conditions as a group. Contractors don't have access to any of those things. So whilst some people might, you know, sort of think of contractors and imagine, you know, the IT expert or the consultant that comes in and, you know, charges a lot of money and has complete flexibility, that might be the situation for some contractors, but actually for a lot of contractors, you know, on an hourly basis, they're actually being paid below the minimum wage and there's nothing stopping that. They fear their work being terminated. You know, their boss can basically say, don't come in tomorrow, and that's that. So, you know, they're much less likely to speak up about health and safety concerns, for example, or bullying and harassment if that's happening, because they don't have that protection of their employment on a sort of day-to-day basis. So they can actually end up in quite vulnerable situations at work. And that's particularly true for what we call dependent contractors. So those are contractors who end up largely working for one company. So they basically end up with the worst of both worlds. You know, they have a lot of control put on their work. They don't actually have the flexibility you'd think that a contractor does. And at the same time, they don't have any of the rights of being an employee.
In your view, is the contracting model a bad model overall, or can it be made to work?
It's not inherently bad in all situations. For some people, it definitely works well. But the situations where people, you know, genuinely have the agency and the flexibility where they can have control over their work, that works. In a lot of situations, contracting is actually being used illegally. And so people who actually, at law, you know, if you look at the case law, should be engaged as employees because of the nature of the employment, the work relationship, they're being engaged as contractors as a way of employers avoiding some of those minimum conditions which should be given to those workers. So it's not in and of itself an inherently bad thing, but it is currently overused. And unfortunately, there are a lot of situations currently where it's being used in an exploitative way.
What do quote-unquote employers need to do in order to give a better quality of life to contracted workers?
Well, the first step is actually making sure that the people who are engaged as contractors should be engaged as contractors. There are a lot of tests, a lot of case law around this. One of the things that we wanted to see happen, which was part of a set of recommendations sent to the government from the Tripartite Working Group on Better Protections for Contractors about a year ago, was clarity in legislation. Because currently all of the legal tests are in case law, and we actually think that the legislation needs to say, you know, this is the test, and provide clarity and certainty for everyone so that employers can be sure that they're actually hiring people in the correct way. So we think that it needs to come down to this question of, is this person genuinely in business for themselves? If so, then they can be engaged as a contractor. But if not, then they should be engaged as an employee and they should have those rights and protections.
Is the recognition of Uber drivers as employees sufficient in affording them worker protections?
Well, that's a bit of a tricky situation because, of course, Uber has appealed that case, so that case law isn't settled. The government told us that they're going to wait to respond to those recommendations from the working group until after they've heard the final decisions on that case, but obviously that can take quite a while. And this is simply the latest in a series of cases that have heard, you know, similar issues around this distinction between employee and contractor. So it's sort of another step in the process, but actually would be really keen for the government, you know, to step in and actually say this is a policy decision. This is an issue of, you know, workplace rights, and we think that the appropriate settings should be this, should be fundamentally a test about whether somebody is genuinely in business for themselves or not.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.